Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Got a great show for you today. A person that I not only consider a marvelous actor and director, but I also consider him a friend. His name is Alan Barrows. He's the artistic director at Shakespeare and Company. And I have grown, and I have to just say this. I have to say it every time. Thank you, Kathy Yan. Kathy was a advanced placement teacher. I didn't have her for that because she were kind of the same age. But one time I was complaining about Shakespeare, and she made the comment, go to Shakespeare and Company, because Shakespeare was meant to be acted, not to be read. Mm. And I could just think about my days at North Junior High, sitting with Mrs. Gaveau, reading Romeo and Juliet, and if it got to the guy and he was Juliet, he had to read it. But since then, I really took Kathy's advice, and I've been to Shakespeare and Company. And it's a whole different world. It really is. Professional Shakespearean actors, they bring every word that that genius wrote to life. And at Shakespeare and Company, they do modern plays. So without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, my friend, Alan Barrows. Alan, welcome.
Thank you, Bill. It's great. I love the fact that you use a Shakespearean word to introduce without further ado.
Yeah.
Right? It's great to be here. I feel like the season always starts when you and I have this conversation. What have we done this? Every year now. This is my eighth season now. I know when I came back, you're like, who is this guy? I've been hanging in there tooth and nail. And we've been having a really good time along the way. You know, we've produced now these last 8 years, almost 50 shows. And they're really starting to add up. And I think people are getting, you know, a real notion of the power of storytelling. We're trying to break down all the hoity-toity stuff around Shakespeare. Yeah. It's important for us just to look at it as kind of a way to invite people onto our property and for us to have a really good time, telling these stories and enjoying people coming back into community. We are, you know, still coming out of COVID. I mean, it feels like we hardly put it in the rearview mirror yet. Last year was a good season. Felt really good about it. And we're even more excited about this one. We got to play it smart about, you know, how we go forward. We got to, you know, play things tight. And we're not leaving anything out. We just came off this community day. On Saturday. Huge event. All these food trucks here, people coming out, all kinds of workshops. I was in a dunk tank. They had me set up on a dunk tank. And I had all these people hit the target. I went in several times. Thank God it wasn't a day like today out because it was warm and sunny. I got the last laugh on it by wearing a tuxedo. I figure if I'm going to get dunked, I'm going in a tuxedo, we just keep swinging, you know, because that's all we can do. I'm still, you know, like everyone, really nervous about the state of the world. Like everything feels so upside down right now. When you and I last talked, there was one war going on. Now there are more wars going on, and you know, you're a veteran, you know. That touches a nerve for you and all your, you know, cohorts. It certainly, you know, for us as artists, we feel it. And, you know, we're like, there's so much theatrics in the world right now. How do we say, oh no, you really need to come hear a theater story so you can get jazzed about, you know, theater. But we try to do things kind of in reflection of what's going on. And we want to give people a chance to escape for a bit. Once you sit down, it's like reading a good book, or for me, a good comic strip, you know, like, Just to kind of delve in and say, I need to take a mental break for a second and have you tell me a really good story, and then I can get on with my day, my week, my month, my year, and the struggle. I feel like we're trying to stay really upbeat because that's our only alternative.
Yeah, it going back what you just said, but when you go to a theater or you go to a show, you know that's acting. You watch television news reports, you better assume it's acting, because if you think it's real, you're goofy.
Oh, that's a really good point. I wish
Yeah.
I'm going to steal that if you don't mind.
No, go ahead. I probably stole it from somebody. I just, but at my age now, I said to somebody the other day, I said, boy, they were a lot older than I thought. And they said, yeah, 2 years older than you. That was Peter Marchetti's dad, the mayor of Pittsfield's dad passed. And I thought he was much, much older, and he was 2 years older than me. But anyhow, we'll let that go. What I find about, and I share this with the people. If it's a nice day, go to Shakespeare and Company. Go early. Plan, if it's an afternoon matinee, plan on staying and just relax and roam the grounds. This guy is a visionary. I've called him that before. He converted a walk-by place into the garden, he calls it. What garden? I can't
A
remember.
Roman Garden
Roman
Theater.
Garden, yeah. And it was just a corner, it was some bushes and a corner of a building. Now it's a theater. Then he had another vision. And on a summer's matinee, you can't find two places where you're more engaged with nature, with fresh air, with the plays, with the acting, with the total ambiance of the thing. I attribute that to you, my good friend.
That's really kind of you to say that, because it's a collective effort over here.
Yeah.
That's, I'm
But as
also
the Patriots found out,
the
as
thing
the
I'm
Patriots
also
found out, it may be a collective team effort, but if you don't have a quarterback, oh, sorry, Tom.
That's what the fullback is for. You pass it off to the fullback.
Yeah.
No, I'm also, in terms of live in person, kind of the experience of that,
Right.
we do stories that are cutting edge, as we say, because
Yeah.
people are like, oh, I never thought of that. Wow, that's a wacky story. That's not, but technology is nipping at our heels. You
Boy.
go online. I used to joke about Netflix. Now, I don't know if you notice, you go on Netflix and you move your cursor across what they have up there, and the trailers start automatically.
Yeah.
They start rolling and you get sucked right in. I get sucked into Netflix. I get sucked into the live streaming, and I'm like, wait a second, I got a show to do,
Yeah.
and that's it's tough because I think people got used to, not getting up, moving their bodies, like you say, get to the space early, get out and about, get in your car, drive on down. I think it's good for people.
Enjoy the whole experience. And while I have you here captive, I have to say this, and I mean this. I don't know where you find your staff, your help, but they can't be nicer. They can't be more engaging and helpful and all these words. And I always tell them when you're there, you're wonderful. They
Oh, that's nice to
really
hear.
and truly are, and I don't mean the big actors and you and, but I mean the girls or the ladies, you can't say girls, the ladies at the ticket booth there.
No, they're all really super dedicated because they
Yeah.
get, they get the smiles on the people's faces when they come out of a show,
Right.
and like that's just great. And we don't, they don't, they I tell you, no one's getting rich working here.
Oh.
All we can do is just kind of keep showing up for people, because at the end of the day, what are you left with? And so it's important for us to do all that.
Well, you mentioned veteran. This is always, I'm past it now, but the lead up to Memorial Day is always, it's not the beginning of summer for me. It's the memories of those who didn't come home, that they're going to be forever 19, 20, 18. I have their pictures. They didn't age. Then I look at me and I went, what happened? But I guess I'm relating that back to going to a play in Shakespeare. And I tell people everywhere, I always say this, when you get down to the grounds, first of all, you'll be overwhelmed. And if you haven't been there for a while, or you haven't ever, get there. I am to the point, I think he's, between him and Pignatelli with restraining orders, it's getting really old. But seriously, I tell people, when you go to the theater, it's not a movie. You can't get up and get popcorn. Go to the theater, wrap all your troubles in a little package, put a nice bow on it, and leave it at the door. In the Shakespeare's case, leave it on the street. And when you go back out and you leave those grounds, those beautiful grounds, it'll be there. Nobody fixes anything for you while you're gone. But you will approach, here's what I'm speaking for myself. I approach some of the issues that I left out there differently because of my experience that I've just experienced.
Yeah. It's that's guy. You keep bringing up awesome points, Bill. I mean, that's really true. You actually
here. Is my head showing the point?
I mean, seriously. I think that, if we can cause people to shift their focus a little bit for a little while, then we've done our job. And, no one's going to drag you up on stage. There's no audience sudden participation. That horrifies me, audience participation, when someone says, oh, no, they're coming for me. They're going to.
Yeah, that's what I go like that. You're up there, but I'm like looking over here. A true story.
So true. Yeah.
They had a hypnosis thing. And this guy, he just went in the eye. He got four people. I was one of them.
Oh, wow.
That was a mistake on his part. Because it didn't work.
Oh, it didn't work, huh? Yeah.
It didn't work.
But it worked on the other folks?
Oh, yeah. They had one lady clucking like a chicken and. Jeez. But we got a great season coming, dude.
Let me tell you about it. We just went into rehearsal for our first one, which is A Body of Water by Lee Blessing.
Yeah.
We did a play of Lee Blessing's. He's a well-known playwright. He did a show called A Walk in the Woods.
Yeah, I was with it
here a couple of years ago.
I was there.
Yeah. And so he is, this is kind of more typical of his.
Okay.
And I hope people will understand that it's both a thriller and a comedy, because this couple wake up at their lake house and they can't remember anything, who they are, where they are, how they got there. So that's why it's a thriller. They try to piece the whole thing together. It's more typical of Lee Blessing's writing. A Walk in the Woods was kind of straight down the middle of the road. We got a great reaction for that. So we figured it was good to bring Lee Blessing back. Yeah. And James Warwick, who was the director for that, he's coming back. Bella Merlin is in it. She's well known to our audiences. An actor who people have seen around county a lot, Kevin Rourke, and Caroline Calkins is in it as well. And that runs from June 21st to July 21st outside in the Roman Garden Theater. And I think people will get a real kick out of this show. We hope that people will come to it, because it's a great time of year to be outside right now.
Oh, there's, yeah. And just to go back for A Walk in the Woods, that you were in that. That was wonderfully acted, very timely.
Yeah,
I don't think any of us really realized how timely it is was, but also captivating and thought provoking. Are we back walking in the woods again?
Right.
I mean, that's what I walked away from it.
Yeah. Sometimes it feels like we're really in the woods. I just can't believe sometimes with all the smart people in the world, how we can't figure more stuff out when it comes to all, I mean, you know, all being on the planet at the same time. I feel like we have enough resources and, you know, I know I get frustrated when I debate with people, but it's all a debate, right? At the end of the day, you know, we don't have to just, you know, feel like someone else doesn't deserve to be on the planet, you know?
Yeah.
So that's first, Body of Water. And then something I'm directing, which is called Shake It Up, a Shakespeare cabaret. And I call this Where Shakespeare Meets Rock and Roll. And it's basically all the, you know, there a lot of the songs that were influenced by Shakespeare mashed together with Shakespeare's text.
So
we have a full band on stage. And,
Yeah,
Jacob Ming Trent, who was Bottom in Midsummer last year.
Yeah.
Boy, that guy can sing. He can really raise the roof. I've got Johnny Irian, who's a very well-known local favorite musician, Benny Fingers Cone, you know, Chet's Keegan on bass, Connor Meehan on drums, several singers,
Jim
Apple as a singer. So all these songs that you'll remember, you're like, oh, Ophelia by the Band. I didn't know that that was. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, so that's going to all, and I'm telling you, If you don't like music, then bring your earplugs, because we're going to have both, you know, music and Shakespeare all mashed together. It's, you know, about an hour and a quarter, and it's you know, the Packer Playhouse will be set up like a cabaret club, and it's just a totally different way of going after Shakespeare, and I love having more music on the property. So that's the direction we're going.
I told you this guy was brilliant, didn't I? Listeners, viewers, didn't I say, in your wildest dreams, who would have thought of that? And now it's going to be a reality this summer.
Yeah.
And,
it's a short run, too. It's just July 2nd through 7th. So it's okay. Like just five performances. And then the band falls over, you know. So
wow. What a time to do it, too, when a lot of people are in the area. And get your folks to send me a press, and I'll start announcing it with my announcements.
Yeah, I will, for sure. Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah, because you know my man. You think that your play about being waking up, I forget where I parked the car. So
Yeah. Well, it's what we need this summer to get people to come. Usually, word of mouth is always best.
Yeah.
But where we make the leap is the word of mouth has to come before, because we don't have a lot of time in the run.
Right.
Yep. It's not like we can build an audience on this run. People got to get excited about it before. And then out on our big stage is the Comedy of Errors, which is a really madcap Shakespeare comedy. It's set with a vaudevillian theme. So there are a lot of like people who know how to, we hired people who know how to do circus tricks.
Oh, wow.
We know how, you know, just some really wild and kooky stuff. And, you know, it was one of Shakespeare's early plays. He didn't take himself that seriously in it. And it's sure to be a lot of fun. And Kate Kohler Amory will direct that. That runs from July 13th to August 18th. And a lot of familiar faces will be out on that stage. Kicking it up for that. We also, Reggie Life is coming back to direct a play for us by a playwright who we've produced before, Carrie Krim. We produced her Morning After Grace several years ago. And this is about two people, Ranny, who was in Fences last year, is coming back, and we'll welcome Michelle Mountain, great actress. And the two of them are about these two people who, you know, later in their lives, they kind of discover each other. It's funny. It's touching. I think people will really relate to it. It's the language is really rich. And Reggie is going to do a great job directing that. And that runs July 25th to August 25th. And then people get to sit through a performance of yours truly. I'm going to be pairing up with Corinna May. Corinna May is an actress who, you know, people have seen a lot of her on the
Love her to pieces. Her and Dave.
Stage. She and I used to get paired up together all the time back in the day. We haven't worked together for 22 years. But she and I play brother and sister. The reason I have this beard, I play a fisherman on Cape Cod, so I get to pull out my Cape Cod accent. And it's a new play, a regional premiere. The Islanders, by the way, is a world premiere. We get really excited by world premieres around here.
Right.
Flight of the Monarch is by Jim Frangione, who runs the Barrington Public.
Sure, great guy. Jim's been on the show many years
ago. Awesome dude. And I've worked with each other in various capacities through the years. Really adore him. And so he's written this play. Judy Braha, a director from Boston that I've known for years. That's a super short run. It's in the Bernstein Theater, August 3rd through 25th. It's a very moving play, but also has a lot of laughs in it. And so I'll be thrashing around out in that. Then we'll do directed by our founding artistic director, Outside, The Winter's Tale. This is kind of what we call an enhanced reading. In other words, people get costumed. We'll have a set. It'll be outside on the main stage. The text, it'll lean into the text and the relationships. But, we don't have a lot of time to rehearse it. And it's a very short run, August 21st to 25th. We'll also keep. So that's a lot of people that you'll recognize.
Right.
On that stage. And then Plays in Process, which is our new play series. We're just assembling what plays they're going to be. These are plays that are in formation, and people love to come in and be like, what are you cooking in there? What's going on with that play? And so there's a lot of conversation about the power of storytelling. And then super excited about our final show of the summer called Three Tall Persian Women by Ani Abdabari. And this is in the Bernstein Theater. This also came out of our Plays in Process series last year. It's about this young Iranian American woman and the relationship with her family. It is a kooky play. We like to have playwrights from all over the world because that way people get kind of a perspective on like, oh, what's happening with that? You know, we get kind of, you don't want to get too specific about, you know, just having American playwrights or whatever. And so that's that runs August 30th to October 13th. And boy, we've got a great set of actors coming up to do that. And then at the wintertime, we'll do Kate Hamill, which we've done before. And the Jane Austen adaptation. So other than that, we're just going to be wanting people to come to the property. We're going to have all kinds of pop-up performances all over the place and readings here and there. We're just trying to, you know, shake off the winter blues and the COVID doldrums by being active, you know. So,
you know, an aside. I reread the Barrington report from the. They were belittled and maligned, but what they put in the report has all come true.
Oh, what's that?
The great about COVID. Remember
oh,
the
yeah.
scientist who went against Fauci and that. I happened to find it because I've been given an ultimatum to clean my office or move to the shed.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of ultimatums you get. And I found it and I said, I'm going to reread this. And it was like, whoa, these guys were dead on.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you say COVID doldrums, I there's still people that are, you know, suffering from COVID. We know a couple of people personally that have that, what is it, long COVID or extended?
Oh, yeah.
And they're not doing well.
I know.
You know? So, but when you get, again, I just want to let people know the modern plays are terrific. And they're cutting edge stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll have to say this, and I'm not giving you any malarkey, as my Irish mother would say. I've never been to one of their modern plays that I didn't leave with something that I could mull about for a good period of time. Walk in the Woods left me in the past, in the present, and I hope not in the future. In the Shakespearean plays, because of my misspent youth.
Look at you.
I consider my misspent youth till I was 50. So, but I love going to them because I always find something. And I've said this to, and Alan's heard me say this before. I have a friend who's vision impaired. And he said, when you go to Shakespeare or any play, close your eyes. And I find it even more intriguing when you go to Shakespeare, because now you're not watching people move around or look at the car. You're actually listening to the words, the magnificent writing. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I know that.
Pick the ushers off, but you're not sleeping. You're just
right. Well, the thing is, it really it works on you in mysterious ways.
Yes.
You know, and you know, all those high school teachers that did their and not to take anything away from teachers, but if you're reading the plays and without hearing them, it's just a different experience.
Yeah, and. It's almost like physics. You know, I had a Harvard professor on one time talking about physics. And of course, man, I said, whatever provoked you to go into physics? You know, he said, you don't understand physics. If you follow the rules, it's pretty easy. It's the same with acting. If you follow the rules and you look, especially Shakespeare, people have this thing, oh, not Shakespeare, it's too hard. I don't think it is hard. I think it's very enjoyable. Once you get by this, it's hard.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's so many people running around and flailing around and pushing each other down. And
yeah. Sword fights. I mean,
there's certainly stuff to watch out there.
Yeah. You've been in this business a long time. Let me hold this. Think about this while we go to break. You've been in business in this business a long time. You're really an excellent actor. What have you seen change, and has technology added or hindered what's happening? Think about that while we take a break.
Okay.
Take a break right now. And I want to tell you, and this is me, it's my show. And by the way, the views and opinions expressed on the show are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, the school committee, Mayor Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council chambers, and the people that put their garbage out today. We are a day behind because of Memorial Day. I know that because my wife said, what'd you put the garbage out for? I had to bring the garbage back in. But also, I'm going to do this more often. Not for myself. I am a patriot. I try to be. But for all those that never came back home from all the wars and from the wars on our own land, please don't desecrate it for their sake. Not mine, not yours, theirs. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. It's also simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1301. And I am with someone I have the greatest respect, admiration, and consider a friend. Alan Burroughs, the artistic director at Shakespeare and Company, and he even lets me go on the grounds. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
What's going on here?
Combining the miracle of modern technology with the secrets of ordinary street junkies. Producing this.
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union. Proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal. Opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
El condado de los Berkshires se dirige hacia un mañana más brillante y ese futuro comienza contigo. Los Berkshires están al borde de caer en una gran crisis de salud mental debido a la falta de acceso, dejando algunos pacientes, especialmente niños, esperando meses para recibir la atención adecuada. Tú puedes ayudar abogando por ti mismo y por otros para encontrar carreras en la salud mental. Sé un héroe de la salud mental para los Berkshires. Para obtener más información, visita briancenter.org o namibc.org.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281 4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. Alan had to run off for a minute. I have some announcements. I was going to read them at the end, but I'm going to read them to you now. This is an annual event. It's done by Joe DeSico, a really great guy. Had personal experiences with cancer in the family. It's called Strike Out Cancer, and it's the fourth annual all day Berkshire baseball game and women's softball, and that will be Saturday, June the 29th at Clapp Park, starting at 9 a.m. And it's ages, high school and up. All proceeds go to the Dana Faber Jimmy Fund. It's a $10 donation to play that includes a T-shirt. You can find out more by calling Joe DeSico at 518-390-2512 or email Joe DeSico, DICCO7@AOL, all lowercase. It's a wonderful event. Joe does a great job, and a lot of people get involved. And he's been doing it now for 4 years. I can't say enough good things about what he does. Coming up also, and I have to read this because I'm a big supporter of St. Mary's School in Lee, St. Mary's Catholic School in Lee, and they're having St. Mary's Bingo. And St. Mary's, it will be Saturday, June the 8th, St. Mary's School, Orchard Street. Doors open at 1. Game starts at 2:30. Bring the family, your friends, co-workers, neighbors. Bring them all. There's raffles. There's 50-50. There's going to be snacks and drinks available. As I said, I'm a big believer in St. Mary's School and all the people there. I know people who have their children there, and they love it. So support that. And the last thing is this summer, do your best to make somebody's summer a little bit better. I don't care what charity you give to, what take some older person out for a picnic or lunch or whatever. But it's time we stop putting a hammer in each other's head and start taking care of each other. Alan's back.
I'm with you on that. I mean, I just, I feel like something that's going on, we haven't shed a lot of the depressing stuff, for lack of a lot of words. And I feel like we just got to make an effort to, however tough the day or week or whatever's going, I think the way to drag ourselves out of some things is just to focus on the positive. It's, I know that sounds like,
you're right.
It sounds so woozy, yeah. But I mean, it's like a practical thing. And I always like to have plenty of space for the negative input.
Yeah.
You know, like, tell me what your issue is, you know?
Yeah.
But for me, I'm like, yeah, I got room for that. But it's a question of bandwidth. I'm like, God, I feel like we got to drag ourselves out of this, you know? And we've been, everyone's tired of saying that. Like you were saying earlier, it's been so many years, but we got to figure this out through positivity.
I've gotten so discouraged. During the day, I'm finishing up another couple of books that I started on, and one of them I've been writing since I had hair. But I listen to the music on the TV. I like to like classical.
Yeah.
Not because I'm a hoity-toity. It helps me think and it helps me relax. And then when I go to the TV part of the television, I watch like Big Bang Theory, you know, really mind-bending stuff because I can't take it anymore.
Right.
I used to watch the BBC exclusively, but they've gone goofy on the wars. I don't want to belabor this. You're right. And that's why we're going to be in the theaters this summer.
Yeah.
Because we need an escape.
Yeah.
And while they're acting that, so are the people on TV, because I don't believe what they're saying either. I don't
think that's right.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them just read whatever the prompter says, and, you know, it is what it is. But I think, what's the song, Peace, Let Peace Begin With Me? That's how we have to do it. I have to tell you this. I told this story. You've been away. So I'm coming out of Appleton Avenue by PHS. There's a red light there. I'm sitting watching a red light. I glance to the left and right because I'm an old cop. And I see this land yacht, like a 1964 Chrysler Imperial, coming down in front of PHS. Now, I'm smart enough to realize they're not going to stop.
Oh, shit.
They're not going to stop. Light turns green. I can go. So the car goes, and I just tap the horn and point into the light. And Grandma flipped me the bird. Big black sunglasses. At the moment, I said to my wife, pack your stuff, the world's ending. Grandma just flipped me the bird. But, I guess it's my way of saying we are in a cultural area filled with all kinds of culture.
Mm.
I was just at a wedding at Tanglewood. I could get lost on those grounds.
Right.
Take advantage of it. Take advantage of the goodness. And maybe it's my post-Memorial Day funk, but I won't be 19 again.
Right.
They'll never be in their 70s. So enjoy your life. Go to Shakespeare. I have to tell you a story. I had one of your successes on.
Oh, is that right?
Chelsea Lesage.
Oh, wow.
She's doing great in New York. She was just in some big play down there. I'm so happy for her.
Oh, that's great.
And she gave you a lot, you and the Taconic, a lot of credit for her success.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really great to hear, because, you know, we're just up here, you know, making the donuts. And and it's really great to hear when people go out and can look back to their time here as something that was useful to them.
Yeah. You know,
I know that for many years.
Go ahead.
Oh, many years when I was, you know, an actor with the company, I was living in New York and, you know, just really pounding the pavement. And then, you know, but I would get a call in January. Hey, you want to come back this summer? And yeah. I was like, yeah. And that happened 17 years in a row. They had me back 17 years in a row. And I was like, you guys, you don't have to have me back, you know,
right.
You can choose, you know. And the funny thing was, is there was one summer, I guess it would have been 2002, and I played Henry V here, you know, and a lot of sword swinging in that. And we had a good time. And then they called me in the fall and said, do you want to come back and do Much Ado About Nothing and play Benedict? I said, Benedict's the lead in that show. You just had me play Henry V. They said, yeah. I go, can't, you should find someone else. I said, you guys, come on, use your imagination. You don't have to, they just saw me as Henry V.
Right.
You don't have to bring me back as Benedict. It's a great play. Love the play. You should probably choose someone else. And then they call me 3 weeks later. They said, we couldn't find anyone else to do it. Will you come
That's
back?
The job I get when they can't find anybody else to do it. They call me
No
back.
One else would do it
yeah.
for that rate of pay.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, I'll do it. And that summer that I went back to do it and I wasn't going to do it, that was the summer I met my wife.
You know, my mother, God rest her soul, used to have a saying, and I've shared it 1,000 times. And this wasn't necessarily 100% of it, but nothing happens in a vacuum. And I don't know if she said that, but her thing was, an ill wind blows some good fate.
Oh, yeah.
Even at the time, it's an ill wind kind of thing, but it's, there's something good. And I, through my life, I've seen it through awful situations. And yeah. Maybe I'm a better person for it.
God, you're coming up with all kinds of nuggets today. I hope people have a pen and paper out, Bill. Seriously.
I am a nugget. But, you know, these kiddos, and I feel I have to do this. You know, I did an expo, not an expo, I did an, we called it Opening the Windows and the Doors to the Pittsfield School System a couple weeks ago.
Mm.
People were, the feedback's been phenomenal.
Wow.
But what Shakespeare and Company has done for so many kiddos for so long by coming into the Pittsfield School System and putting on a Shakespearean play.
Yeah.
I had a girl many years ago when this program was at Taconic. The old Taconic.
Mm.
Tell on the show, she would have never been able to be on the show because her words, not she was a wallflower. She was wow. super shy. And her friend sucked her into doing Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And she said, it's changed my life.
Yeah.
So you people need to hear that too. It's not just you go and you do blah, blah. You're changing lives.
Yeah. It's kind of wild when you see one of those kids at the beginning of rehearsal and then at the end of the rehearsal and the transformation that they yeah. undergo to get to a place where they can speak confidently in front of people. And, you know, they're chewing on this language that isn't necessarily everyday language. And, you know, they're smashing up against each other. We only just came back from doing the fall festival, you know, in person. Yeah. You know, so it makes a difference sure. for us when it makes a difference for other people. So.
Yeah. Hey, I'm concerned. I, or should I be, I guess, what's technology doing for the theater?
Yeah. You know, you bring up a really good point. I mean, it's, it, sometimes it works for us and sometimes it works against us. And, you know, like, for example, the way it works with us, all the lighting now is what's called LED lighting, right? It looks like regular stage lighting, but it's cheaper. It's easier to put up. It doesn't cost as much to run. So in that way, it works well. In other ways in which it doesn't work so well is when people pivot and they want to use technology in a way that takes away from the human experience, right?
That's my fear.
And, you know, I'm even a little guilty of it occasionally. I like using technological bells and whistles. For Shakespeare Cabaret, I'm going to have a big screen up there with, you know, it's going to be above the band and it's going to have all kinds of imagery flashing up on it. But that's not a play. That's just going to be an event. So, like when people start speaking the words from a certain play, I'll splash the title of the play up there so people can be like, oh, I get it. We're right. And then you get dropped right into that play.
Yeah.
You know? So you got to use it sparingly. People are really concerned about what AI is going to do.
I am.
No, I mean, the fact that you get AI voices now sound so real, you know, like who are you going to believe, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers sometimes, you know, it's like, you listen to an article. And it's like, this article was read by an AI voice. And you're like, well, that's weird, because that sounds really weird and really normal, you know? So, yeah, it's a scary line to walk. So you got to keep coming back to what's real.
I hope we don't get away too far. You know, there's all kinds of scary things. What will happen to the menial jobs? Robots are going to do them. How about those folks that depend on their living? But the other scary part is, because I do write things, articles and books, and they're saying, you know, that could be the end of authors. Somebody will just write a book on, you know, Alan Barrows, and next thing you know, there's a 285 page book about you that you don't know anything about anyhow.
Yeah, right.
And
my daughter, I'll hang her out to dry here a little bit. She's like, Dad, I'd really like to drop out of school and become a writer. And I'm like, okay, do you have to drop out of school to do that? She goes, oh yeah, I need to devote more time. She's in sixth grade. Oh yeah, I definitely need to devote more time to it. And I'm like, okay, well, there are little things like down the road, like how are you going to pay the rent? And she'll say like, maybe you didn't understand me. I'm going to be a writer.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah. Yeah. If I had a dollar for every hour that I spent writing something that I got nothing for, except maybe a little. I just worry. And it's not going to affect me one iota.
Mm.
But that I think of the kiddos. I just read somewhere where a college professor buying these two seniors because they turned in an AI paper. Now, I guess if I read the article correctly, and you're taking has a big leap of faith in me, there's a method, I guess, they can check it. The college professors can check to see if it was an AI article.
Huh, interesting.
So, again, all I can think of is, hell, open the door. 2001.
Right.
We're there. We're there.
Yeah, I know. And it's deceiving, because then you're like, well, what is truth and what is fiction? You know, and, you know, then you get into some big questions that really existential questions that kind of blow your mind. And then you're like, I just need to take a nap. I really need to lie down. And hopefully I'll feel more grounded when I wake up, you know.
When you get to be my age, that's about 2 o'clock. The season's going to break. I mean, it's June.
Yeah. We're opening this first show really soon. I really hope people will, you know, come out and see it in droves so I can keep my job. Just, you know, yeah. if people want me to keep my job, you know, come see the shows.
Yeah. if you want them to stay on the radio, although I can't say, I would have him on. It's, you know, I got a great compliment one time from Congressman Neal about the show. He said, you know, it's two guys having a conversation and about important topics, and you give me a chance to finish a sentence.
Yeah.
You know,
do you have him on again?
Oh, he's on once a month.
Oh, is he?
I got it right here. I got to call his person right there. When you get to be my age, I have stick-em notes all over the place. Sometimes I put them on my forehead so I can read them in the mirror.
Well, see, that's the beauty of it, too, though. That's how technology has worked to your advantage, because you can do these by Zoom now.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I remember having to get up at dawn and going up to your station up there.
And pleading with people.
Oh, yeah.
Can you be there at 7:15, please?
Yeah.
or even better, this is what, if I had a dollar for every time this happened, I'd be in the Bahamas. The phone would ring, cell phone. Hey, what's up? Oh, the kids woke up sick. I'm not going to be able to make it.
Oh.
Okay, 7:15. All right. Then I break into my Irish songs. But it does give me some flexibility. It's not live, but it is live because it's us. And we're not computer generated yet. I would encourage the folks, Picnic on the Grounds, they're very open. And when I tell you this, I mean it from my heart. Go down and absorb the beauty of the grounds, really.
Yeah.
Just wander, sit. They have chairs. You can bring your own chair. Go down to the amphitheater. And if there's nothing going on, just sit there for a minute and take in the beauty of the environment.
Also, there was one other thing I wanted to mention, and that is that our annual gala fundraiser is happening on June 29th.
Okay.
And it's to benefit the education department. Kevin Coleman, the director of education.
Great guy.
So people can go to shakespeare.org/gala and pick up some tickets. They're very reasonable, and it really goes a long way to helping these kids with these after school programs, because it really keeps these kids engaged, it feels like. So,
and what I love about all the theaters that do stuff with kiddos is this is left in the backpack.
Yeah.
Because and the other thing, and I will say this from my old life, many of the violent youthful offenders that I dealt with had no other outlet.
Right.
They had no other outlet. They weren't good in school. I don't know. A lot of them had learning disabilities. A lot of them had childhood trauma, and so many other. These groups that do these things for kiddos, I support 200%. And y'all know that. I've been doing it for years. I tell this story every time I do a fundraiser for theaters.
Yeah. Well, tonight, Bill, we're doing this in-house performance with these kids who are in the courts program. And oftentimes when, you know, if they are facing incarceration, the judge gives them a choice.
Yes,
you either get incarcerated or you do Shakespeare. And sometimes it's a tough decision for them.
Yeah, I would have to think about that one.
Yeah, you know, but then we have them start speaking this language. It's not a long performance, but they, you know, it's something that really kind of, I think, taps into something for them. So, yeah.
Well, my wife and I went to a performance of Young Kiddos. And this girl wrote her own play, short play. And, by now, I'm pretty grumpy. As a legislator called me a grumpy old man, but I come with that. I can live with a grumpy old man. But I watched and I was touched. I could have said, or I can say, I got a little emotion. So at the end of it, I went up, my wife and I went up, and I said, I have to tell you, that performance touched my heart, and you were phenomenal. And so on the way home, the teacher called and said, I just want to let you know, she broke down crying, sobbing. And I feel bad now. You know, because you know me. What did I always say to myself?
What a softie. You're such a softie.
I know. Yeah. I got a lot of terms. A lot of people call me a lot of things. Softies, not one of them. And I said, well, what did I say? What did I do? She said, you were the first people that ever told her she did a great job.
Oh, wow.
And she was a 13, 14-year-old girl. So tell your staff that I think they know this, but you touch so many lives through these youth programs. And I really mean it. I think that what you guys do on a daily basis, or, you know, when you have these kiddos on and down there, and it's not always easy. Believe me, I worked with them. I know it's not. Yeah. But what I tell people, and we're going to have to cut out of here pretty quickly, but in my latest endeavor in writing, the one thing that's come to light through all my experience, especially with youthful offenders, listen to what they're saying. Mm. Not the words, but what they're saying.
Yeah.
Because they are experts, and this is not a negative, this is an observation. They're experts at manipulation, and they manipulate to survive. Mm-hmm. And I can't say enough good things about what you guys do down there with kiddos. And now you have your people on Broadway, for God's sake.
I know.
Yeah. I was on Broadway. I got a picture of it. Right under the sign, Broadway. Alan, I'm always here for you.
Well, I really appreciate that, Bill. People will go pick up our brochure, go to shakespeare.org. Got a new website. Everything is there. Easy menu, shakespeare.org. I hope people can come see us this summer.
I don't want you to take this as a threat, but I'll be down there.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Oh, and I can't wait to go to the garden, and I can't wait to go to the amphitheater and the Bernstein. But also to all of you and all of your staff and all the people behind the scenes, thank you for your talents, for your efforts, and just support the arts. It is an escape, yes. It's a healthy escape.
Yeah.
And then sitting there watching the boob tube, as my father used to say to it. If you keep watching that thing, you're going to be as big a boob as that is. Alan Barrows, you are a wonderful person and a very talented guy. Say hi to Corinna May. I think her and David, I think the world of them.
You know, I introduced them.
Oh, you did?
I introduced them. David's David's one of my oldest and best friends.
Oh, he's just
introduced them in 1998.
He's a super. I think the world, and he's a great actor, and she
really is. He and I have done a lot of shows together all over the country.
Well, someday you and I'll do a show.
I hope so, Bill.
I'll sing and empty the place like a fire drill. All right, to my audience and to all of you and everyone in town and all the people, God bless. And today, especially today, for the old soldier, do something nice for somebody.
Absolutely.
Do something nice. And for those people who are quick to jump on his flag, when you go to a cemetery and you see all those flags fluttering in the wind underneath them, somebody at one point in time signed on the line, they'd give their life for this flag.
That's right.
Alan, I think the world of you, brother.
You too, Bill. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Don't threaten me. God bless everybody. God, Alan, you're the best. I'll talk to you soon. Bye, everybody. Talk to you soon. Yeah.